All right, what an important truth to grab a hold of in our lives, that all else can fail but Jesus. And you know, there's so much that many times we put our dependence on and it fails us. There's so many things that people are striving for in life. They think it's going to bring them fulfillment, satisfaction, and then it ends up costing them dearly. If you can take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 92. Psalm number 92, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. In fact, we'll stand together. Psalm number 92, and we'll read verses 8 through 15 together. So let's stand and read those verses in unison. Psalm 92, verses 8 through 15. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's have some prayer before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just be with us now as we look at your will, at your word, Lord, which reveals your perfect will for our lives. And Lord, how much we have to be thankful for. And Lord, that you are upon the throne, that you are the Most High. Lord, what a great truth. And Lord, may we live like that in our lives. Lord, just pray that you would guide me now, and may your spirit work in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said this morning, verse number 8, we find, is the center verse of this psalm. And it says, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. The psalmist here, if we just read maybe some of the beginning verses, it seems as if, except for maybe verse 7, you know, what we focused on this morning is that things were going great. I mean, he saw the works of the Lord. He saw the wonderful things that were taking place. But one thing I'd like us to see tonight is that the position of praise is the posture of faith. If you're going to properly praise God, it requires faith. Because guess what? Life is not always going to be rosy. Life is not always going to look like it's going great. Life is not always going to be where everybody is rooting for you. All right? There's going to be opposition. There's going to be things going against you. But the eye of faith will keep you going forward in the midst of trouble. And the position of praise is the posture of faith. If you're going to be able to properly praise God, you must be grounded in faith. You must understand and put your trust and reliance upon God, upon His Word, upon the words that He has given us that show us how God will act in this world. And the psalmist sees that. In verse number 9, he says, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. The psalmist understood what was going to take place to the enemies of God. And in verse number 11, we see it's not just enemies of God, but we see he had enemies in his life. He says in verse number 11, mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. So even though the psalmist was experiencing opposition, yet he was able to praise God. You know, in those times of opposition, in those times of spiritual warfare in our lives, in those times of difficulty, it can be hard to praise God. But we must keep our eyes focused on the ways of God and how He works. And in verse number 9, we see that the psalmist, and the following verses here, verse number 8 and 9, he understood God's power and authority. And he understood God's judgment upon sin. Imagine with me tonight if there was going to be a war. And in that war, on one side, you had an army of four-year-old children armed with rubber band guns. On the other side, you have the U.S. Air Force with all of their weapons. Now, what would you say would take place in that war that was about to take place? Well, it'd be quite obvious what it's going to take place, isn't it? The four-year-olds are going to lose. Okay, if everything acts as normal, the four-year-olds are done for. Okay, rubber band guns aren't going to do much. You know, they might irritate your sister, but they're not going to accomplish anything against the U.S. Air Force. And here in the beginning of verse number 9, it says, "For lo," and he says it twice. He says, "For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo." All right, it speaks of the sure judgment that is going to come upon, that they are going to perish. You know, as you came to these four-year-olds, you're saying, don't do it. It's not worth it. You have no chance. You are going to perish. This is something that is definite, that is going to happen. And here the psalmist understood the end of the enemies of God, that they will perish. It is a sure event that's going to take place. Do we see that? Now, there's a lot of wickedness in this world. There is a lot of wickedness in our country as we defy the laws that God has put in place. As we defy the laws even of nature that God has set in order. And you know, that wickedness is going to come down. And you know, sometimes it may seem, you know, like we're losing the battle. But we must never lose faith. We must never lose sight of the end result of sin and what it brings. And it must encourage us to stay on God's side. It must encourage us to praise God because we understand that He's in control. And as it says in verse number 7, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. And they may flourish quickly like grass. But when judgment comes, when the sun comes out, that grass can be quickly scorched and gone. And the position of praise is the posture of faith as our lives are confidently trusting an omnipotent, omniscient, sovereign God who is in control. Although it may look temporarily like the wicked are prospering, they will be brought into judgment. Thine enemies shall perish. It says, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. You know, as you would think of that plight of the four-year-olds as they maybe saw the Air Force coming in, you know, what would take place? You know, you can imagine an army about ready to just get obliterated. They just scatter. And here are the enemies of God, as He comes down upon them, they're just scattering. They have no power against the God of heaven. And that is a perspective that we must keep in mind. It is an important perspective for us to keep in life. You know, the devil wants to tempt us. He wants to get us off. He wants us to think, you know, sin is something worth trying out. He presents it as something that looks like it will be advantageous. He presents it as something that will look satisfying to our lives. But ultimately is something that is going to bring destruction to our lives. And the world's system of rebellion against God will be brought into desolation, will be destroyed. But in verse number 10, we see, you know, the enemies of God are rebelling against Him. They're going to be destroyed. No, it's a good motivation for salvation. Look at the end of the wicked. They're going to be destroyed. Place yourself on God's side. Submit yourself to the Lord. But notice the position here of submission, of faith. He says, verse number 10, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn." So here he's speaking of the strength, the might, the power here. The horn could be used as an offensive, a defensive weapon, but it's a symbol maybe here of strength. You know, he was going to be exalted. You know, many times the forces of evil think they're gaining ground, they're gaining traction. Sometimes if you can feel like you're powerless, you know, like, what am I going to do? But here the psalmist had faith that when he placed himself clearly on God's side, that God would exalt him. You know, God resisteth the proud. He gives grace to the humble. You know, we are to humble ourselves in the sight of God, and He will what? He will lift you up. Those that exalt themselves shall be what? Shall be abased. But God uplifts the humble. And when we place our life in submission to Him, we will have opportunity to praise Him. And there may be times that it looks like we're losing. But when we have the perspective of faith, we understand that in actuality, we are winning. And that we are on the side of victory. You know, remember earlier how he said, In verse number 4, "I will triumph in the works of thy hands." The psalmist was not defeated. I mean, he had that shout of, the shout of triumph. As he was praising God, there was energy. It was uplifting. Even though there may have been difficulties that he was facing in life. And submission to God brings exaltation. But you know, in order to submit, it requires humility. It requires us to understand God's exalted position. But not only does it bring exaltation, but it also brings refreshment. It says, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." You know, sometimes, you know, some of you out here might be into oils, you know, and there's different types of oils. And, you know, there's certain smells that are repugnant. And there's some smells that are refreshing. You know, and God anointed, you know, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, not some stagnant old oil, but something refreshing. You know, when we place our lives under God's control, there's refreshment that He brings into our lives. As we continue on, it says in verse number 11, "Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies." God's enemies were His enemies. You know, we place ourselves on God's side, we will face the same enemies that God faces. You know, it says in 1 John, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." You know, if you place yourself on God's side, guess what? You're going to have the same enemies as God. But guess what? The same, you're going to have, you know, who would you rather fight? God's enemies or God Himself? It's much better to face the enemies of God than to be in the opposite position and for God to be your enemy. Right. And you know, the only way to be reconciled to God is through who? Through Jesus Christ. And we are to give out that ministry. We are to be bearers of that word of reconciliation, that our lives can be, we can be, that relationship with God can be restored. Only through Jesus Christ. You know, tonight, are God's enemies your enemies? Do you face enemies? Do you face opposition? You know, if you're facing the same opposition that God faces in this world, that's a good thing. It shows that you're on God's side. And look at it through the lens of faith. Look at it through the fact that, guess what? We are victors when we're on God's side. It's not something we need to fear. It's not something we need to be afraid of. But instead, it's something we can look through the eyes of faith and see the end result of the enemies of God. And as believers, as the servants of Christ, we ought to want to reach out and see those enemies reconciled to their Creator. So the position of praise is the posture of faith. But then I'd like us to see that the posture of faith is the place of sustenance. When we're in this posture of faith, it's the place where we will be sustained. Verse number 12, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." You know, when we are living rightly and justly before God, when our faith is firmly grounded in the ways of God, understanding how He operates, it will sustain us. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." Think of a palm tree. They can, you know, you can, I remember I've been down, I was in Arizona one time, and you know, I remember out in my aunt and uncle's front yard, they had a palm tree growing. You know, palm trees can take maybe drier climates. They can survive maybe certain conditions that other trees couldn't survive in. There's a stateliness to them. You know, they maybe rise up above some of the other things that are happening. And there's a flourishing even though there are, even though the area around them may not be very desirable. It says, one commentator stated about the palm tree, "Unmoved by the scorching and withering blasts of temptations or persecutions," relating it to kind of a believer's life, "unmoved by the scorching and withering blasts of temptations or persecutions, the Christian, sustained by the secret spring or springs of divine grace," which is the spring of divine grace, "lives and grows in likeness to his divine master when all others are overcome and their professions wither. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." You know, around us, things may be collapsing, but when we put our faith and trust in God, there is sustenance there. Then it speaks of, it says, "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." All right, the cedar in Lebanon, there are some trees there, I don't know presently, but for a while had been there for a very long time. All right, there's longevity, that there's this sustenance that this posture of faith brings to our life. You know, and it's really a great contrast to the wicked. Verse number 7, "When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." All right, theirs is a very quick flourishing, but it is in contrast to the believer who puts his complete hope and trust in God. Their flourishing is one that lasts. It's one that passes the test of time. So this posture of faith, it's the place of sustenance. No matter what's taking place around us, it sustains us. There is a flourishing that takes place in our lives. Then notice verse number 13. It says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now here I see, in a sense, a three-part application. Now we can think of, boy, this is a great child training verse. We can think, boy, this really is a great application to children. And it is. You know, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, as one commentator talked about, you know, you can have a tree just growing out in the wild. You know, uncared for, just there. But one that is cultivated in the proper environment. A child cultivated in the proper environment of the house of the Lord. And the abundance of fruit that will take place in their lives. But here, yes, we can see an application for children, encouragement that the best place to raise children is in the house of God. But I also see, you know, parents bringing their children. And as we see later on, it's not just about children, but it's about what? It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. You know, these verses really cover all aspects of life. We maybe many times focus on the children, but we see a progression all the way to those that are old. You know, I'd like us, in light of this, you know, being planted in the house of the Lord, you know, is your commitment to God's house growing stronger or weaker? You know, each one of us can think about that. Is my commitment to the house of God growing stronger or weaker? You know, how could we measure that? Well, you know, how's your Sunday school attendance going? You know, maybe just take a quick mental evaluation of yourself. How about the morning service? How about the evening service? How about Wednesday night? How about Wednesday night prayer time? You know, how about men's prayer on Saturday night? You know, how about, we have, you know, missions conferences, revival meetings. Is your commitment to God's house growing stronger or weaker? You know, do you find yourself now in a place of less commitment or more commitment to God's house? How about, is your attitude towards God's house growing more positive, you know, or negative? Are you excited about more services or disappointed? You know, you hear about a special service being announced. And, you know, our flesh maybe can be, you know, but we should what? We should be excited about it. There should be excitement that takes place. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, do you talk about spiritual things or spiritual leaders in a positive or negative way? You know, those that being planted in the house of the Lord. You know, if your children are going to want to be there, we need to speak of it in a positive fashion. We need to speak of the people that are there in a positive fashion. You know, is your service in God's house growing robust or sparse? You know, maybe at one time you were faithfully serving in the nursery, choir, Sunday school, maybe church cleaning, Christmas programs, kids club, ushering, you know, other ministries. But if you look back at your life now, you can see that ministry is growing smaller. You know, there's a flourishing. The Bible says those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You might say, well, I'm not a child, nor do I have children. Well, what kind of an example are you setting in this area? You know, I think of the illustration, I can't remember the illustration perfectly, but it was an old man in a church, and I think he was deaf, he couldn't even hear, but yet he would come to, I believe, like every service. He faithfully attended that ministry. You know, and somebody asked him, why do you come? Somehow asked him, how do you come, and why do you come when you can't even really get anything out of the service? And basically his answer was that he wanted to be an example to others. You know, are you concerned about the example that you're setting so that others would be encouraged to be in a place where their lives, where their life can flourish. I also like us to see that the place of sustenance is the place where fruit is produced. All right, the place of sustenance is a place where fruit is produced. It's the key, maybe I should say, to the production of fruit. The key to the production of fruit. Verse number 14. It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You know, old age is not a time to throw in the towel. All right, it's a time to bear fruit. Notice that. It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. You know, God's plan is not for you to get old and not have an opportunity to bear fruit. You know, if you'll follow His plan for your life, when you get old, you'll have opportunity to bear fruit. And you know, older people that are committed to serving God can be such a great encouragement to other people. I mean, it can just add energy and life to a church. It can be a great encouragement to the pastor. It can be a great encouragement to others when there are older people that are committed to following God, when they are committed to bearing fruit in their old age. But again, it goes back to what? Being planted in the house of the Lord. You know, as you get older, it may be a little bit harder to get there. There may be more limitations to getting to the house of God. But guess what? The place of sustenance is the key to the production of fruit. And if you're not in that place, that environment, you're going to have a hard time producing fruit in your old age. You know, if you're in, you know, and that's something not just for the older people, but it's for those of you that are under that age. You need to realize the key to going forward as you get older is to stay committed to the house of God, to His house. You know, it's a time to bear fruit. Old age is a time to flourish as a believer. It says, they shall be fat and flourishing. You know, we live in the age of diets. All right. And obviously this is not talking about, you know, seeing a bunch of 500 pound people walking around. All right. But it's speaking, you know, of the prosperity, the spiritual prosperity that they have in their life. They are sustained. They're bearing fruit. All right, so old, it's a time to bear fruit. It's a time to flourish as a believer. It's a time to be planted in the house of the Lord. It's a time to get involved in God's service. You know, don't let the devil think that as I get older, I don't need to participate. As I get older, my role is not important. As you get older, your role is vitally important to the service of God. But it also reminds us that it is important to train young people when they are young. And you think of a tree, and if you're going to one of the newer ways to grow apple trees is to grow them on a trellis. Well, if you're going to grow apple trees on a trellis, you're not going to start with a You're going to have a hard time if you try going out there on a 20, 30-year-old tree with all its branches fully developed and going in a certain direction. You got to start with something young. And you know, we have a great opportunity in ministering to young people. You know, the younger you start with that tree, the more opportunity you're going to have, the better opportunity you're going to have to trellis that tree the way you want it to be trellised. And the later you start, the harder time you're going to have training that tree. And, you know, we know, all of us that are honest would have to say, you know, it's the older we get, the harder it is for us to change, you know. It's hard to, you know, teach an old dog new tricks, the old saying. You know, but obviously with God's grace, anything is possible. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you will humble yourself and submit yourself to the grace of God, to His working in your life, He can channel you and form you in whatever direction He wants you to be in. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It doesn't matter what age you're saved at, God can transform your life as you submit to Him. All right, so just because you're saved maybe older in life doesn't mean that your life can't be transformed. All right, but there is a great opportunity for young people to be channeled and trained all their life to go in the right direction. Then I'd like us to see this last, I'd like us to look at the last verse here. It says in verse number 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You know, what is your life showing about the Lord? You know, our words, we have an opportunity to praise God with our words. You know, the first verse, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. We have an opportunity to praise Him with our voices and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. But every one of us has an opportunity to praise God with our lives. Your life can be a bearer of God's praise. And He says, to show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock. He is the one that I am depending upon. He is my stability in my life. Does your life show that? That God is your rock? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, the people around you know that He is your rock. Do people know by your life there is no unrighteousness in Him? Obviously, much of that can be expressed with our mouth. You know, if people heard everything that we say, would they say that there's no unrighteousness in God? Do our lives declare, do our mouths declare that there is nothing unrighteous in Him? You know, when we complain, what does that say? It says that there's something wrong with the way God is working. And our lives ought to reflect the fact that there is no unrighteousness in God. You know, I encourage you tonight to allow your life to be a bearer of the praise of God. You know, it says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I liked what one preacher one time said, you know, your life is like a telescope. You know, and as people look through your life, do they get a better understanding, a better image of who God is? Is your life bringing glory to God? Are you showing through your life that the Lord is upright? That there's no unrighteousness in Him? Is there a firm dependence and trust in Him? Or are you like the double-minded man in James, who is unstable in all his ways? You know, we have a great opportunity to praise an amazing God. But it requires faith. There's going to be difficulties in life. There's going to be things we don't understand. But we must remember that the thoughts of our God are very deep. They're beyond our human understanding. And as we have that posture of faith, it will bring us to the place of sustenance, and our life will be sustained by God. And as our life is sustained by God, as we come to the place of sustenance, our lives will what? Will produce fruit. And then our life can be what? A bearer of the praise of God. What an amazing opportunity God has given us. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4 says, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. What an amazing thing. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you love us. And Lord, even though we were your enemies, you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place. And Lord, tonight, in a world that is full of wickedness, in a world that is living in rebellion against you, help us to see the end of that wickedness. Help us to have no point or place of participation in it, but to see where that wickedness will lead. May our lives be firmly established, firmly dependent upon you. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be encouraged, Lord, to bear much fruit. And Lord, that the bearing of fruit is something that does not just happen for a limited amount of time in our lives, but Lord, is something that you want to take place for a long time. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, first of all, you know, tonight, do you know the God of heaven? Are you on the side of being his friend? Abraham was called the friend of God. He believed in the Lord and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Or are you still an enemy of God because you have never accepted Jesus Christ as the payment of your sin? You know, tonight I would invite you to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a sole payment for your sin. But maybe you're a believer tonight. You know, have you gotten, has your eyesight gotten off track? Have you lost that posture of faith? Have you missed out on that place of sustenance? Have you missed the place that God wants to use in your life to allow you to bear fruit? Have you seen your commitment lacking? You know, maybe you're, you know, reaching those upper years. And maybe God's just encouraging you tonight. You know what? Recommit yourself to seeing his work go forward. Realize God wants your life to produce fruit. And as you follow his pathway and his plan, as you commit yourself to his work, he will see that fruit produced in your life. Or maybe tonight it's just that your life needs to be a standard bearer for God's praise. You know, if we're complaining, if we're allowing those things to take over, we're not showing that there's no unrighteousness in God. Lord, may you just work in our lives. May you allow us, may you help us to submit ourselves to your plan tonight. Lord, may we do business with you. And may we leave this place tonight excited about having the opportunity for not only our mouths, but also our lives to show forth your praise. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.